his own comedy club in L.A. Comedy Club. It's in Universal Studios, like on the City Walk.
Is it a ride?
No,
you,
it's
like
a comedy club.
In and John Lovitz just talks to you for like an hour.
John Lovitz, the ride.
It stinks.
Is this good?
Stinks.
Is this funny? Do you like that joke? You buy a ticket and he comes up. He's like, "That's the ticket." And you're like, "Oh, all right." And he's like, "That's the whole ride."
You just went upside down. How do you feel now? But he's worth a fortune. I'm not trying to say like he's like Alex Skolnick, like sitting at home and, you know, begging for change or anything, but
Alex Skolnick is not sitting at home and begging for change.
It's a show
He's out in the streets begging for change. If he's at home, who's going to give him change?
Yeah. Stop it.
He's going to give himself change.
We have a great show this week.
Rest in peace, Alex Skolnick.
We have two guests calling in.
Is one of them Alex Skolnick?
No.
Good, because he'd be offended.
He's buried in B.B. King's grave.
No, what? So where's B.B. King?
They were together? He lost a lot of weight. There's room for one more.
That's so romantic. Rob, when you die, I'm going to be buried in your grave.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to say that John Lovitz has been on Hot in Cleveland on several
episodes.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
He's starring in a new film called Killing Hasselhoff.
A WWE produced film, by the way.
Yes.
What was his character's name on Hot in Cleveland?
On Hot in Cleveland, his name was Artie/Opera Guy.
Okay, I believe it. Artie, yeah.
And he was also... He also does a lot of direct-to-video things.
Yes, I'm sure.
And he was in New Girl as Rabbi Fagelin.
I vaguely remember that.
I remember that. Fagela. Well, there you go. That's the update on John Lovitz, everybody.
So as I was saying, we have a great show this week. We have two guests calling in, perhaps many more. We'll see. We'll see who's listening. You never know.
Those are just listeners, though.
To the Metal Injection Livecast. But we have a new segment of Beyond the Band. And Beyond the Band is, of course, our segment where we go behind the scenes and talk to people in the music industry about how they got their gig and offer some advice for how you can get a gig in the music business if you're interested.
Has anyone been hired yet that listens to Beyond the Band? Do we have any success stories?
If you have, give us a shout, us a holla.
Yeah.
Hate mail at metalinjection.net, or leave us a voicemail on the Metal Injection Live page.
Or a comment or, you know, a tweet or something.
I think we got like a 10% finder's fee if we can hook anybody up with a job, however indirectly it is.
So as I was saying, we have Kelly from Metal Blade Records. She worked her way up. She has a great story, and she's one of the A&R folks there now, which means she signs bands to the label.
Who she signed?
We can talk to her about it.
Yeah, why ask Rob when she's going to be calling?
And later on, tomorrow night, Monday night, if you're listening to this on Sunday night.
We're doing the show again? We're doing two shows this week?
No.
Oh.
I am going to be a guest on another podcast, the Straight Shoot Wrestling Podcast.
Is that where they shoot straight people?
No.
It could be where the straight people shoot.
They're
others.
Straight shooters. Mean they're not bullshitting you. That's the term.
Uh-oh. And also the double meaning of shoot related to wrestling.
Where it's real. It's not a work. The opposite of a shoot is a work, which is...
Are there podcasts that are a work?
Yeah. Like, creative podcasts, creative storytelling podcasts.
Like ours.
So I will be on Aubrey Sitterson's podcast, The Straight Shoot, and he's going to call in later today. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling, talk about a bunch of other stuff.
Well, you're going to be talking wrestling tomorrow. Let's talk about other stuff with him today.
Yeah, he's a metalhead.
Otherwise, it'll just be the same thing over and over again. At least we'll have it first, either way. So
we got to get the scoop.
Yeah.
Well, we should ask him what are his other interests. You know, if he likes to go to the park.
I don't give a fuck about that.
It's good that we're having this brainstorming session.
Yeah. Well, when else are we going to have it? You were too busy buying ice cream before you showed up here.
That's true.
Ice cream's good for you.
Got a nice little milkshake.
They didn't have smoothies.
Got a little Carvel.
Carvel.
Regional ice cream chain here.
Yeah, apparently that's only like a New York, maybe tri-state area chain. People outside of the tri-state area.
I never see anyone in the Carvel that's on Fifth Avenue over here.
That's
like
the one I went to.
I used to go there.
It's like a Dairy Queen to compare it like to
it's
other.
It's an ice cream shop. Yeah. It's like a Baskin Robbins.
But it's a, it's a chain though, yeah.
Yeah. Like
Baskin Robbins, do they have soft serve at Baskin Robbins? It's primarily a soft serve
ice
place.
Cream. What the fuck's the difference? It's all
what?
Ice cream.
What? Bite your tongue. What's the difference between a soft serve and hard serve? Get out of here.
It's ice cream.
Soft serve is way better.
Yeah.
But it's still ice cream.
It's different.
No, it's different. It's like creamier.
Are Coke and Sprite the same? No.
Sid, what's the difference between flour and corn tortilla?
Yeah, it's all
my
the
wife
same.
Likes one a lot more.
Yeah, they're both tortillas.
Yeah, I agree, but my wife likes one a lot. That's the difference to me.
Okay.
I'm sure your wife likes soft serve more than she likes bullshit hard serve ice cream.
It's not like Coke and Sprite, though, because soft serve has vanilla, right? And so does non-soft serve. So the flavors are not different.
You might be going too far there,
texture.
Rob. I still like hard ice cream.
It's different.
Speaking
soft
of soft,
way better.
Speaking of soft serve, I went to the park with Bruno today, and I wasn't paying attention, and he was grazing. So he was eating a lot of grass.
Yes.
And when that happens, he farts a lot. So I'm just warning you guys. And I want to apologize in advance.
Go, man. Put a mic next to his tuchus and see if anything.
I do remember previously when I like had him for a week or two when you were away or whatever, and he grazed. I remember he pooed and there was just like a line of grass.
Did you have to pull it out of his butt?
And the poop. Did you light it on
I
fire?
I had to pull it out of his
wish?
Butt. Yeah, because it was like stuck in his butt.
We're talking about the grass like in the park, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to say it didn't get into your stash or anything.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
I have gotten Bruno high, full disclosure, and he gets way too munched out.
Against his will.
Yeah, he doesn't like being high.
I don't
high.
Think Bruno has a will. I think really? He's just sort of
sure
there.
He does. No,
yes,
you can tell.
Does.
Yeah, you can tell when he's not into something.
Yeah.
He just
should the
scientist
the over
blows
here.
Him. He goes wherever the wind blows him.
Yeah,
he's,
I agree.
No,
he
makes his
chill.
Own decisions.
He likes to blow other people or other dogs. I
and
thought.
He, you know, and I know when he's happy or when he's sad or when he's bored. Like today, he was bored, so I was like, "All right, why don't we go to the park?"
Mm-hmm.
You didn't invite me to the park.
Because you're
maybe,
busy.
Maybe I was bored.
No. Let's take a break. Put Sid on a leash and take him down the
park. Oh, well, that way.
There was something in the news the other day about like a Staten Island couple that went to the mall and the guy had the girl on a leash and people.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw
that.
And they look exactly how you think they would look.
I bet she had really
they're just
short
like
hair.
Metal or like leather clad, basically.
They're probably friends on Twitter with Josh. That's all I'll say. They look like that type.
Okay.
They've got black jorts people like that.
Mm. Were they in front of the Hot Topic store at the mall?
They probably went in there, maybe looking for a job application.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
She's clearly, she'll follow orders.
Josh
I'd hire her.
Josh is very offended.
Nice.
By the way, we have a number to dial, 646-929-1357. Not much metal news this week.
Thank God.
I know.
It was a pretty slow week, but today there was a story, not necessarily metal, but at a Chevelle show.
Chevelle!
On Friday.
Tool, if they were more concise.
And
that's what Chevelle is,
released
right?
the record in the last 10 years.
That was their original name, Concise
that's
Tool.
What Muse is to Radiohead on a much shittier scale is what Chevelle is to Tool.
Yeah. What's their hit song or something? Like what?
Seeing Red?
Yeah.
I could play it.
Sid, you're the king of musical analogies, by
Thank
the
you.
Way.
I'm just good at analogies in general.
Is that I never really... I never thought about Muse as a rip of Radiohead.
That's what every... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard
day
that.
One, that's what people say.
Or Coldplay.
If you like the first Radiohead album, just listen to Muse, basically.
I don't really like... I can't say I don't like. I don't like new Muse as much as old Muse. So this is Chevelle Noah.
Oh, I remember this song from like the 90s.
2009. Well, it has to be early 2000s.
Yeah.
It's just this video is uploaded in 2000. But anyway, so a man fell to his death at the show.
Was it the lead singer?
No.
Damn it.
A worker.
Rob.
Was on the catwalk. Well, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
A worker was on the catwalk.
Was there a certain other band on that bill that
say,
night?
I was going to say, co-headlining with...
Stop it! Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Man fell to his death. So he fell off the catwalk, which is like, you know, basically the catwalk is, you know, at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Just where all the lights are. There's a pathway
Did
to...
Do his little... Turn on the catwalk.
He did no turn on the catwalk.
The catwalk.
He fell and he landed on two metal rods, which impaled him on his chest.
How far did he fall? Like
from the top of the venue
why is there
to
a
the
catwalk
floor
yeah.
during
a metal
the
show?
or before the show started.
What do you mean, why is there a couch? At the venue, that's where, like, to fix the lights and whatever.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of a runway.
Yeah, it's not like a runway.
I was thinking, like, RuPaul's Drag Race or something like
that. No, a catwalk is just, like, a very thin walkway.
It's
that's
when
like
you
it
it's when you have a something with a very high roof, and you need to access things up there. There'll be a ladder, and then there'll be a little ring, like, where you can walk around towards the roof.
Right.
On the catwalk.
This is the catwalk you're thinking
catwalk
about.
Yeah.
Okay, but, so your story reminded me, Rob and I went to see Clutch in Central Park this week.
Did anybody get impaled?
Well, I don't know if you were paying. Okay, so Rob and I were very, very high, and I hadn't really been to an outdoor show in a very long time, and I was really excited to be outdoors and stoned and stuff, but, like, it's kind of very intrusive to see everyone. Like, to be able to, like, see everyone's
you
faces
see how
in
ugly
the light.
The people that like the music that you like.
You usually you're used to going
dark
to a show in the dark, so
right
you don't have to look at it.
Yeah.
I do know, I know what you're saying.
And
yeah,
there's
yeah
a lot of, like, armpit hair and stuff like that. So there were a group of people in front of us who definitely, like, dropped acid or something, because
okay
all of a sudden this girl just, like, collapses to the floor,
mm-hmm,
and these two guys are just like, oh, man. And they, like, pick her up, and her eyes were, like, rolled to the back of her head, and they
yeah
just pick her up, and she had no idea what was going on.
Lucky. I just thought it was, like, heat stroke or something, but then I realized it wasn't even that hot.
Yeah,
it
no,
was
it
like
wasn't
five
that hot.
It might have been Sid, because he always rolls his eyes to the back of his head
sure
when we do this show.
Yeah.
Especially when Clutch is discussed.
Sid doesn't look like
Clutch
a girl.
Clutch was really fun to
I
watch
bet
live.
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
They were, but it was so weird, because, like, all these people just kept looking back. Like, there was a guy that was standing near us, and, like, they just kept looking around, and it's like, just look at the damn stage.
Well, maybe they
what
were looking
were
for
wearing
their friends.
What were you wearing, Noah?
Noah looked great.
So that's probably why they were looking. They were probably pretending
you were
to
wearing
look
work
for
clothes.
But they were looking
oh no,
at
you were pretty cash.
I forgot. I don't
cut
know
off
what I was
denim
wearing
shorts. Black
was
shorts.
No, you were
oh
jeans.
No, no, I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing black jeans, and I was wearing my black Serious thermal shirt.
Goth.
No, thermal shirt. So maybe they weren't looking back at you. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they
weren't. Maybe they're like, wait, is that Rob from Metal Injection?
She was suppressing, her femininity.
I think
well, what am I going to wear, what, like a corset to a metal show?
I'm sure she
yes
had, yeah.
No.
Pretty metal.
No.
Metal
aren't there articles online about this, about how women should behave at metal shows
yeah
and stuff? Come
not
on,
me
Noah. Have you not read that?
We have a caller, by the way, if you want to dial in, 646-929-1357-757. You're on the live cast.
Yeah, what's going on,
guys?
I just
wanted
to
talk
about
this
whole
Owen
Hart,
Chevelle
connection,
you know.
Oh, Owen Hart, I don't think Owen Hart was related to the Chevelle connection, but for those of you who aren't wrestling fans, Owen Hart was a wrestler who fell to his death
yes
in a very similar situation,
right,
except he was being propelled from the catwalk
mm-hmm
to kind of simulate flying. And
his,
then
his character was to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Do
then
we remember what town that happened in?
In, like, Kansas City?
I think it was Minnesota.
Czech Republic.
Close to Virginia.
And so, yeah, so he died in a similar way. So, yeah, what do you think the connection is, Brian?
He wasn't impaled.
Well, the connection
is
this weekend was the anniversary of his death.
I saw the Iron Sheik Instagram, his tribute to Owen Hart.
What was it?
What did he say?
It
was just nice,
right? Yeah, he was nice.
It was in Kansas City, Missouri, by the way. That was correct.
He said it.
I respect Owen Hart.
He's the real.
He's
Hart
not the jabroni.
That's interesting. I never even put that together. That's a very good point. Owen Hart died May 23rd, 1999. So
would
16
it be
years
to,
ago yesterday.
Would it be fair to consider Owen Hart the original Baby Daniel?
Yeah.
Chris Benoit didn't kill Owen Hart.
Really, is a younger family member who died before his time.
Owen Hart, you should never have fallen down from there. Chris Benoit, you jump off the fucking cut.
I break
you
your back.
Shit, you're a no good motherfucker. Why don't you kill yourself on the fucking catwalk before the Owen Hart fall down? Bullshit.
We need the Iron Sheik to cut a promo on gravity.
Gravity, you're no good motherfucker. How many people you kill? You killed the Owen Hart. You fucking killed this guy in the Chevelle show. And you're killing the Hart holding tits. His gravity tits falling down. Fuck you, gravity. You're dancing, motherfucker.
So did this guy fall during the show?
Yeah, the Chevelle. It was mid-set. for Chevelle, and they had to stop it, and the show ended early.
Did he even land on people?
Yeah,
like
did the blood get on anyone? Was their guts all
over? I'm not sure. The details are very skimpy. That's all that was reported.
Can we call up the venue right now and get some deets?
I don't feel comfortable.
Well, the question is, did he see the red when he fell?
It's a good question.
Everyone else did. He probably blacked out before that happened.
You should do some journalistic digging, and maybe they Chevelle just found somebody that wanted to kill himself anyway, and they threw him up there.
No, come on.
Had him
they
could have
at least live streamed it then.
Who at a Chevelle show isn't at least contemplating suicide, Darren? I feel like it's a place for everyone who wants to
see it fits, Rob.
Yeah, there might be a running thing through the whole tour. Show up and see a guy kill himself.
Even if you don't plan it, it might happen.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I'm amazed that in this day and age, Chevelle can play in a venue with a roof. Good for them.
And like a light tech or something.
What? They're not at a car dealership opening it.
Something that same podunk stage that Chris Jericho was on that he was complaining about when he called into us in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Good point.
Yeah, I really knew the send thing below.
What was that? You sound like you're in an echo chamber.
I don't know. I keep getting an echo, but I said the guy really knew how to send the pain below.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're full of the Chevelle punch.
Are you on the Chevelle discography page on Wikipedia
definitely.
Right now?
No, I'm just sadly, I know a few of their songs.
I don't believe anyone knows that many Chevelle songs. You're up to two now.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
If you name one more, that's catwalk territory, so be careful.
Yeah, right.
Well, he probably runs their street team.
The team of people that land on the street when they jump off of something.
They're the only band that has a street team that has to go around and clean the street of bodies.
This is dudes with brooms.
To the family of the fallen victim,
we have
our thoughts are with you. Yeah.
Yes.
What's his name?
His name is...
He was an employee of the place, clearly. He wasn't a concert goer.
Kyle Kirchhoff.
Oh.
Rest in peace, Kyle Kirchhoff.
I don't know that I've ever met a Kyle that I liked, so...
Oh. What?
I don't know.
How does that even...
Damn.
I don't know any
Kyle. Yeah, I know a Kyle. He's a nice guy.
I know a Kaya.
we all know a Kaya.
But Daryl Kyle.
Is it Kaya or Kia?
It's Kaya.
Kaya.
Kia is the car.
Yeah.
Kaya is the song.
Are you sure it's not pronounced Kia?
No, it's Kaya. Don't stop, don't miss.
All you there wouldn't be an H if it was Kia. I have a friend who goes by Kia.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have an H in her
and
name.
And Brian, I mean, you do those monster metal covers or whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
What's the name of your channel?
Massive metal covers.
That's what it is. Massive metal covers. You've done like Michael Jackson or whatever. I think it's time to do a Kaya one.
Oh my God!
You know that I think it may be time, man. But you know I've got to get some dancers in the video and all that.
Rob volunteers.
So if any dancers are listening and want to be in Brian Storm's metal cover of My Neck, My Back,
Rob
Brian, what's your email?
Yeah, I mean, Rob, is your ass still swollen?
I could twerk with the best of them. I'll do it.
Blake from Pig Destroyer.
I would absolutely love to have you dance in any video I do, in all of them.
You'll see my 6'5" frame twerk like it's never twerked before.
Are you really 6'5"?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Wow.
It's true.
I'm admiring your physique.
You're admiring it.
I gotta
do the upside down twerk.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you know how to do that one.
You'll break your neck. Don't do that.
Should do
what about my back?
Motherfucker.
You're like up there with Kevin Nash, man.
No, Kevin Nash is like 7 feet. I thought if I was a wrestler, I would be like normal height. Or at this point, I'd be a little taller than average.
If you're a basketball player, you'd be like a shooting guard.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a small forward. So it's in the realm of like above average tall people, I'm an average tall person.
You're the world's shortest giant?
Yeah. That'll be my wrestling. The world's shortest giant since the world's
tallest. Well, they oversell those guys anyways. They list like CM Punk as like 225 pounds or something, and he's definitely 180.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's probably a website where they have like everybody, every wrestler's measurements.
Yeah. Oh, but for Kevin, I think Kevin Nash played basketball, so like you
baseball,
could look up.
I thought, no?
No, 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 basketball.
Wasn't he like a minor league baseball player?
He was. He tore a quad. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's done a lot of that.
Germany. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's not.
And what's so funny was that like the main critique about him was like he had potential, but he was too lazy. Story of his life.
There was a basketball player at Sirius, and he just looked like Stretch Armstrong. It just like his limbs looked so weird. It was a white guy.
Okay.
But it and it's I just like I felt so bad for him because like him standing next to like you know regular people.
He's probably rich
and, like,
though,
chicks
so you shouldn't
stuff.
Feel. Chicks like that because his dick is probably really big.
Chicks
so
but it probably doesn't work though.
What is? Why not?
It's probably like, big.
What is? What do you not watch porn? What do you mean?
Of course I watch porn.
He loses eyesight.
How does it not, why wouldn't it work?
Because usually when men, like when men have really, really large cocks, like they don't get super hard. They can't.
There's
it's
not
like one or the other.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Vision or erection.
The silence of all the men on the show right now says volumes about what we've got going on.
I don't have an extra large cock. I have no shame in admitting that.
I mean, like those like 7 foot tall guys.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. It's just there's only so much blood in the body to go.
But their
yeah.
body's bigger, so there's probably more blood.
No, and I was reading about like a guy who had like an extremely large dick, and he was saying.
What book is
and
this
he
in?
No, it wasn't a book. It
she
was
like
an article.
She has the RSS feed to that.
Yeah. Let her finish.
And he was saying that like even though his dick like hangs down to his knee, he can't get it super hard.
Maybe it's the lady's fault.
Pointless.
The girl doesn't fucking matter though. She'll just fucking jump on top of it, even if it's not.
Yeah,
totally hard.
It could be like flaccid, and she'll still have a good time. Yeah. But
her throat.
No, it won't.
I just.
You can't do much with a flaccid penis. I don't know.
That's a drop.
But you're screwing.
So Kevin Nash is 6'9".
Yeah.
The Rock is
sexiest.
The Rock is the same height.
And his cock is 6'8".
So how are you? The tripod.
Sized very hard cock over a large cock.
Flaccid,
that hangs.
Yes. All right. Yes.
Just for the record.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like super big, right? No, like it just you no. gotta work it. You gotta work it. You gotta yeah. know how to work it.
All you listeners out there with medium sized cocks, you have a chance with
Pop
Noah.
Your penis like this. as long as you can maintain an erection.
Everybody dick pic Noah like this.
No.
No.
Thank you.
That was a joke.
Post it in the chat. If Noah doesn't look at it, Rob will.
I don't want to solicit that.
I'll filter. So, like, Noah, you want to take a look at this one.
This one's all you. You open, create two folders on your desktop, Rob.
Wait, someone in the chat named Totally Not Rob. Just put a dick pic in there for Noah.
Oh.
Wow.
All right, Brian, we're gonna let you go. We have a call.
Sounds good. All right.
Segment.
Bye,
thanks
Brian.
For calling in. That was Brian Storm.
Good job.
From Metal Sucks.
Son of Lance.
All right, let's do our Beyond the Band segment. Right now on the line, we have Kelly from Metal Blade Records. Kelly, are you there?
I sure am. How's it going, guys?
Great, Kelly. Hello. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your Sunday to hang out with us here on the Metal Injection Livecast for Beyond the Band. This is Rob, of course, and I'm here with Noah.
Hello.
Sid.
Hey.
And Darren.
Hello. What's happening, guys? Thanks for having me on, by the way.
No problem. Now, Kelly, I was going to say your full name, but I realize I've never said your last name out loud. And so I don't want to.
Well, I got to hear you try at least.
All right, I'll try. Now, I don't know if I go the Latin route, it would be Kelly Malaya or Kelly Malella. So I don't know.
Malella.
Malella. All right. So Kelly Malella.
The Italian route.
Okay. I like the Malaya.
It comes in a pitch.
Now, Kelly. I wanted to have you on Beyond the Band. We have people who work in the industry on Beyond the Band to kind of talk about how they got to where they are and offer some advice to other people who love heavy metal, might not have any desire to start a band, but want to get involved and how they could get involved. And you have a great story because you worked your way up to an A&R position. Like, what is your official title right now at Metal Blade Records?
I am A&R, and I'm also VP of marketing.
Yeah.
So I deal marketing and advertising still a little bit as well. Yeah, I'm metal label, so I wear multiple hats. But, yes, I'm now officially an A&R rep.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's great. And really, you've been doing A&R now for, like, at least the last decade, like, unofficially, right? Like, even if it wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started at Metal Blade when I was 21, so it's going on 14 years now. And I came on as an assistant to the publicist. And as soon as I started, they, you know, they had the demo bin, because obviously that's how we were still getting all of our demos. And it was just getting out of control. And Bill Metoyer was still working for the label a little bit at the time, and he would come pick up demos from time to time. But he started to get so busy with his studio work that they asked me to step in and just start taking boxes of demos home and checking stuff out. So it actually started pretty much, you know, within the first year of me being at the company, at least just checking out bands in the bin and scouting bands, you know, that come through locally. And so it's been going on for a while. You know, I remember finding, Jim Mills found Cattle Decapitation. But it's one of those bands that I always went and saw locally, so it was really killer. That was like one of the first bands where I was like, oh, shit, like, this is one of my grind bands. This is one of the bands from my scene. Like, this is awesome, you know.
Kelly, when you
there, like, we found Black Dolly and Azalea Dying in the demo bin, like, within a week of each other. Go figure.
Oh, wow.
Kelly, when you started with Metal Blade, did you kind of have, like, a vision of where you eventually wanted to end up, or was it kind of like a path that you created for yourself just learning the business from your colleagues and mentors?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first started, I wanted to be in publicity. One of my roommates, right after high school, Quillen Arkenstone, his aunt is actually Heidi Robinson, Fitzgerald. So I would chat with her, and I was like, well, God, you know, I don't really know that much about the business, but I love helping bands. I had like a little zine that my friend and I did, and it was more like a, almost like Onion style, where it was very tongue-in-cheek, but we had like a music section that we were actually serious. We'd always cover local shows and review local bands, and I was like, I love doing that. I really want to help bands out. I was like, what should I do? And she's like, well, you should get into publicity. So she hooked me up with Mitch Snyder over at MSO, and I ended up becoming his assistant's intern. So that's kind of where I got my foot in the door. And I did publicity for a long, long time. I mean, I just officially kind of shed all of my publicity duties maybe about like 2.5 years ago. And at that point, like, I feel like, God, you know, like I've accomplished so much. I've gotten all these covers, every cover I wanted to get for one of my bands, I've managed to get. Like, I hate to say I was getting bored with it, but, like, I just felt like I wasn't really challenged anymore, you know. And at that point, Brian Slagle had approached me about stepping up and actually taking a more active role in A&R, and I was like, abso-fucking-lutely, like, absolutely. Like, I am ready for this. Like, I know how challenging it is. Because it's not just being able to find bands. It's like the whole process of negotiating and writing a contract.
Can you talk a little bit about what you do as an A&R person?
Basically, I go through. We now get a lot of our stuff via email. So still get some physical demos. But I'm the master of the Metal Blade A&R email account. So I go through there, you know, once or twice a week, and I just listen to all the demos, get back to kids. A lot of stuff I get also is from managers. Some of our bands, you know, they tell me to check bands out. Some of even our former bands, you know, like Eric Rutan from Hate Eternal just hit me up a band that he wants me to check out, you know. So it's like people are always reaching out and like, hey, check this out, and passing along tracks. So pretty much
like
it kind of starts with there in terms of discovering something that kind of catches my attention, and then I share it with my worldwide A&R team to get a vibe from everybody.
I imagine you get hundreds, if not thousands, of demos a week. Just the amount of music we get at Metal Injection, it must be insane.
Gross. Like, I feel it's so, like, I look at that account and I'm just like, oh my God, am I ever going to be able to get this thing out?
Yeah.
Like, it's,
so how do you,
it's
how
probably
do you, like
3,000 emails right now.
Yeah. Like, do you kind of give it like 30 seconds? And if you're like, oh, this isn't catching me, I'm going to move on. Like, is there a tough point where you're like, all right, this is just not good?
No, I mean, I treat it like how even when we used to listen to physical demos. You know, we'll listen to the first song, and sometimes you're just like, oh, wow, rough. You know, but, you know, you want to give a band a chance because, you know. So I like to at least listen to 2 to 3 full tracks from a band, at least give them a chance. If they're going to take the time to record something and send it to us, I feel like I need to take the time to sit down and at least check out 3 tracks. Now, if your first 3 tracks aren't that great, well, shame on you. Always put your best tracks up front. But I really do. I like to try to listen as much. Unless something's just, sometimes I feel like, we're on lists. So people just buy these lists where it's like hit up all these A&R people. And it's like, did you even realize you emailed Metal Blade Records? Like, I get like pop stuff and country stuff and rap stuff. So when that comes up, like, I immediately, I'm like, yeah, hey, sorry, barking up the wrong tree.
It's the same thing. Like, we get press releases for like hip hop events or whatever. And it's like, wow, there's nothing here for, like, who did you buy my name from? It's the worst.
Yeah, exactly. And then you almost kind of feel bad for these people. It's like, you spent money on this? I mean, in this day and age, all you have to do, like, A&R info's got to be up on everybody's websites at this point. Like, don't give anybody money. Just get on your computer and look it up.
Yeah.
So as you, climbed your way, to your current position, has anyone imparted any advice that you still hold on to today? Like, for example, from like Brian Slagle, who's been around, he was the one who discovered Slayer pretty much. Like, he was one of the guys who started the scene. Has he imparted any, advice or guidance that you still hold on to today?
Yeah, both Brian and especially Mike Failey. I work very closely with Mike Failey, who's our president, been at the company for basically, they tell me you never stop learning. And it's probably some of the best advice I've ever gotten. Just basically, don't ever think that you know everything, because you don't. And as soon as you feel like you're sitting there and you got this attitude like, well, I know this and I don't need to listen to you, that's, I feel like, when you start to make mistakes. I'm not saying you got to listen to what everybody tells you and do it, but, you got to have an open mind. You got to be able to still learn and grow because, even Mike says, he's like, I'm still learning things in this business every day, and especially for what we do, things are constantly changing. You got to be able to change too. You got to be able to keep up with scenes. You got to be able to hear potentially what the next scene is going to be. So you also don't want to shut things down just because it might not be what's a huge hot hit right now. The last thing I want is 20 different Whitechapels on the label, because we've got Whitechapel. I don't need 20 other bands that sound like that just because Whitechapel's successful, or just because Black Dahlia is successful. I don't need 20 bands that sound like Black Dahlia.
Have you ever listened to a band and were like, okay, this is not for me, but I recognize that there is an audience for this, and this band does this style of music well, so I will pursue this?
Absolutely. And I feel like what's really helped me with that is just even my time working in press, because you're not personally going to be a fan of every single band on your label, but you've got to be able to recognize the talent and the musicianship and just how amazing these bands are. And you got to know, like, okay, this is what X site and X magazine are going to be into, so I'm going to pitch it to them. Like, I'm not going to take something, that's totally death metal and be like, hey, Alternative Press, you should do this. It's like, that's not their scene, and vice versa. I wouldn't take something that's more poppy kind of metal and take it to like a Decibel, because Albert would just fucking laugh at me. And it's really just kind of even the same with music. There's some bands where I'm like, yeah, not my cup of tea, but this is a great band, and I feel like this could do really well for, say, our European office, where obviously styles in the U.S. and styles in Europe, the different things are bigger in different territories. So, yeah, absolutely. You got to be able to hear the talent and pick up on that and be like, okay, yeah, not my thing, but this is awesome.
Noah's favorite Metal Blade band has to be Falconer, so she can totally relate to that last statement.
Falconer.
Oh, Falconer. They're fun. They're fun metal.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask a bit on the press side. Nowadays, I feel like there's a lot of people who are doing, there's a lot of outlets for labels to get their band on press, some a little more high quality than others, you know, basically anybody with a camera now, or even like a camera phone as a YouTube channel. Do you have any advice for like people starting out trying to get into the press side of things on how to deal with both bands and with publicists? Because I'm sure you've seen all the faux pas that these kids come into. So what are some of your biggest pet peeves that people should avoid doing when trying to set up press?
This goes for both press and A&R. Don't be a punisher, you know.
Oh, huge.
Sometimes I'll get people who hit me up like, as soon as they see a press release for a tour, and let's say this tour will literally be starting in 2.5 months, and they immediately reach out. And it's like, you know, I get upwards of like maybe between 100 and 300 legitimate emails a day, just starting off in the day when I come on and turn on my computer. You want to send a request that far in advance, that's fine, you know, but realize that I have to get to things based off what I'm dealing with and what's time sensitive. So, you know, it's fine to send something really early, but don't expect a reply right away. Expect a reply anywhere from 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a week before a show, because that's when publicists are tackling that stuff. You know, we're all doing so many different things. There's only so many hours in the day. So, yeah, punishers, man, it's just brutal. And when you're a punisher and you just keep emailing, oh, I just want to make sure you got this, it's like, yeah, I fucking got it, and I will get back to you, you know. And sometimes they're like, okay, cool. And then, like, maybe a couple weeks later, they'll be like, just want to make sure. And I'm like, oh, dear.
Teach them a lesson by just saying, hell no. Leave me alone.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, honestly, like, if you're going to be that brutal, I'm just going to not take your emails anymore, because
right,
there are 5 million people out there all doing the same thing, or at least all trying to do the same thing. So the best way to get your foot in the door is be respectful. Understand that we are not robots. You know, we have lives, and sometimes we need to actually have a weekend and not be on our computers 24/7. We will get back to you as soon as we can. You know, it's... Yeah. You know, it's just, it can be pretty interesting. Because you don't want to be a dick. The last thing, you know, you understand, people are excited. They want to cover your band, which is really awesome. But at the same time, they just really got to understand, you know, sometimes you're just working by yourself and you're doing as much as you can, but you might have 20 other shows literally going on around the same time, not to mention all your albums that you're taking care of. So, you know, publicists constantly have 5 million things going on. And it's really just about kind of showing respect. If, like anything in life, you want to get respect, you got to show respect.
Does Metal Blade have an internship program?
You know, we used to have one. We just, in our new office, we really haven't had the space for it. We've kind of talked about bringing it back in. Internships, I used to run them at the company, and then I'd have my assistants take over for me. That in itself is a lot of work, like, because you're training people who are coming in and out pretty quickly. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, you know, like 80% of interns, they make your life more miserable than it should be. So it's kind of like, I really want to take this kid in who just wants to come here because they think it's cool and it's going to be a party or free shows or free music or God knows, you know. But it's like, no, this is actually an office and we actually have work to do. Like,
Kelly,
I
had an intern who I asked him to burn CDs for me, like a very simple task, and he... to burn them and then print a label. He printed the label on the, like, information side, and he, like, ruined a bunch of my originals and stuff.
Yeah, no, I've definitely had a lot of fun stories like that. One of my favorites was I had a kid from USC, so awesome college, and I'm thinking, killer, this is going to be a smart kid. This should be a good one. And, you know, interns do a lot of mindless tasks, and you know, once we see that they can handle those tasks, because as mindless as they might be, they're still very important. You know, these are still things that need to get done, like making press kits and copying different magazines that we get in and putting them into those bands' press kits. And, you know, or sometimes be like, oh, shit, we got a band that needs to get their visas sorted out. We need X, Y, and Z press. I need you to get copies of that, blah, blah, blah. This kid was picking up photocopies. I couldn't believe it. Like, he literally had a finished press kit where all he had to do was make, like, five different copies of it for me and keep it in order. And he completely messed it up. And then he was sitting there bitching to me about it, like, when do I get to do something cool? And I'm like, well, never, because you can't even make photocopies yeah. without creating a nightmare, which now I have to stop everything I'm doing. So I have to... I hate to say it, but I'm a VP now. I'm a VP of publicity, and I have to stop everything I'm in the middle of to fix your photocopies. Like, it's like, I'm sorry, dude. I just, you don't need to come in here anymore. And I let him go because at that
nice.
Point, it's like, you're just wasting my time. And we're couch. Really busy, and that's why it's interns are supposed to be a help, you know, and help you with these tasks that, again, might not seem that important, but they absolutely are, you know, and
yeah,
they need to be done right. Now, if you can't follow simple instructions, what makes you think I'm going to trust you with something more important, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, unfortunately, no interns right now. I would like to get it started again, but the space thing is always a problem, so.
So we have a lot of young listeners, you know, let's say somebody's out of college right now, and they want to get involved in heavy metal. What kind of advice would you offer this person if they want to get a gig at a label or something like that? How should they go about it?
You know, I always tell people interning is the best way to start. It's a great way to get your foot in the door. It's a great way to show what you can do and what you can provide for that company. And even if it doesn't work out, if you do a killer job for them, that's a great reference to put on your resume. And that's going to go further than just having a degree. You know, that might even go further than having a degree, honestly, because if I'm interviewing people and I'm like, oh, well, this kid interned, you know, at Relapse for 6-7 months and I got a great recommendation from Bob, well, killer, I'm probably going to look at that person over someone else who just has, you know, their bachelor's, because in what we do, it's really about hands-on experience. There's no real, I mean, I know there's classes on the music industry, but you're not really truly going to learn it until you get involved in it. And I also tell kids who are in college, because I get, you know, I've gotten a lot of people like interviewing me for like their papers and stuff for college who are wanting to get into the music industry. And, you know, I always ask them like, well, what classes are you taking? What's your minor? You know, what's your major? And I hear a lot of people like, oh, photography is my minor. I'm like, drop it. Like, photography is awesome and everything, but don't spend your money on that. If anything, get a minor in psychology, because people in this business are fucking crazy, and you
so
honestly
true.
Got to learn how to work with
so,
so many personalities.
So,
I mean, and I took a ton of psychology classes in college just because I found it interesting, and it's helped me out a ton. Like, it kind of shows you how to be able to deal with these different personality types, and there's a ton of them in this business.
Yep.
And you got to be able to work with everybody. You got to be able to work with people you hate. You got to be able to work with your friends who you might have to scream at some point. You know, like, it can be, you know, it can be a little daunting. So, yeah, I say drop that photography minor and take some classes to give you a little insight.
I always say, like, with the music business, it's more about how easy you are to get along with than necessarily what you know how to do.
So
like
all about
can,
networking.
Yeah, like, but also you have to be a person that's easy to work with, because if you're just difficult and if you're always asking for things, no one's going to recommend you to other people. And that's all
absolutely.
And so...
Yeah, I mean, and... It's even the same, like, I'm sure you know, being someone who's in press, and I know being on the publicity side and also the A&R side, you've got to be approachable. You've got to be somebody that people want to work with. You got to be able to stand up and put your foot down with certain things. But, you know, like you said, people aren't going to want to come to you if you're just, like, constantly nagging or this or that. Yeah, people aren't just – there's not enough time in the day, you know, not enough time in the day for punishers. So people will – gladly work with someone else over a punisher, even if that punisher might actually be a better writer, you know?
Yeah.
Just be chill.
So the takeaway is don't be a punisher.
Yeah, Rob, stop yelling at all of us all the time.
I'm sorry.
What if you're a punisher who's a really bad writer and your website is really outdated?
Like one of those fun, like, old GeoCities websites.
Yeah.
Then there's no...
Oh, chance. Yeah, I get those a lot. I've actually, like, I've done so much research. And here's the thing. Like, I understand, and this is for bands, this is for websites, everybody has to start somewhere. And I have no problem working with smaller bands, smaller websites, whatever. You know, we all got to start somewhere. But it's just really how you handle yourself and how things look. So, like, let's say somebody hits me up and they've got a website that doesn't even register on Alexa. But I'm checking it out. I'm like, wow, you know, there's some really good writing on this site, which honestly is kind of hard to come by these days.
Absolutely.
Which is one of those reasons that we usually hire out writers to write bios, because so many people just copy and paste our bios in our press releases.
Right.
You know, it's like people aren't even really writing anymore. So I might have two sites hit me up. Let's say one's got pretty payish numbers and another one's just god-awful numbers. But again, the quality is there. I'll shut down the other site and I'll work with the one where the quality is there, because I want to see that develop and I want to see that site get big. Because we need more sites like that, you know?
Yeah. And I could say even like 10 years ago when Metal Injection, 11 years ago when we were first starting, Metal Blade was absolutely one of the first labels that gave us a shot and worked with us and set up stuff with bands and when we were like nothing. And so I definitely appreciate it. So,
yeah, I remember like when you guys in Metal Sucks were like first both, you know, start at different times. But like it's crazy, and you guys have both come so far. Like, and I love it, because that was one of those things where I literally, every once in a while, it's like, okay, I got a little bit of downtime. I'm just going to search and see what new metal sites are popping up. And that's how I came across Metal Sucks. And I was just laughing, because first I was like, okay, cool, Pantera-ish logo. So I'm digging that. I started reading the site. And it was funny. It was very tongue-in-cheek, and I enjoyed it. So I reached out to them, you know, been working with them ever since. And it's just so crazy to see it go from, it was just so small at that point. Now it's like one of the biggest metal sites, you know. It's awesome.
Yeah. Cool, and definitely it was with your help, for sure. Kelly, thank you so much for hanging out with us and giving us some insight. I can say firsthand, you are one of my favorite people to work with in the music business.
Nah,
I'm not saying that because you're all in.
Are you releasing a rankings later on this week? Of all, like, order?
No, these are unofficial rankings.
Top 5, top 10.
30.
She's definitely in the top 5. Easy. Oh, wow. Easy. Nice.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And you are as well. I love New York. Like, it's one of those places where it's like, I used to be out there so much. Like, I need to get back out there more. Just so many good people and good friends. And every time you go to a metal show, it's just such a blast. Like, it's a big family out. I love it.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone's hanging out at the shows. All right, Kelly, we're going to let you go. We got to keep the show rolling. But thank you so much for... taking some time out of your Sunday night and talking to us, and
and
let's hope the Punishers keep it to a minimum with you from the future. Maybe they've learned something.
Yes, please. Yes, no punishing. I will get to those emails. I promise. Don't send it 10 more times, for the love of God.
There we go. Kelly Malella from Metal Blade Records. I did it.
All right,
you did it. Awesome chatting with you guys, and have a rad Memorial weekend.
You too. Bye.
Later, guys.
All right, that was Kelly from Metal Blade. Wonderful person.
Yeah, she had a lot of nice things to say about Metal Sucks. That's cool.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the Metal Injection compliments, and then
it's okay. I don't mind.
She likes Rob. That's good enough.
Yeah,
but she thinks you're Axel. That's the problem.
No, she's met everybody. She knows all of us. Stop it. She's easily in the top 30 publicists of all time.
She thought you were Ken Pierce, actually.
She knows him.
She's on his podcast now. That's her next call.
Let's keep it going. I believe we have Aubrey Sitterson on as well. So let's
banging out these interviews.
Bang out the guests. Aubrey, are you? Is this you?
Are you ready to get banged out?
This is me, man. I'm ready to get banged out. But first, I just gotta tell you guys, I love Metal Sucks so much. They are by far my favorite metal website out there.
Thanks, man.
I just want to get that out of the way.
I'll tell them.
I'll definitely pass that along.
How's it going,
Vince and Axel? It's going great. We're just hanging out here on the Metal Injection Livecast, and
you are. Thanks so much for thanks so much for letting me kind of elbow my way in here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Aubrey, let me give you a proper intro. Aubrey Sitterson is the host of the smartest weekly wrestling podcast, the Straight Shoot
Podcast. Now, why is it, for uninitiated listeners, why is it the smartest?
Yeah.
It works on a couple levels. That's how smart it is. If you're like Rob, I know you're a big wrestling fan. Are the rest of you guys as deep
all
as
us
Rob?
Are pretty big
wrestling
fans.
I'm an enormous
for
wrestling
Noah.
Fan. Noah okay. is the casual fan.
I just
fan.
Know, like, the old stuff.
Yeah. And Sid is
that's
a...
That's enough. That's all you need.
Used to be
you need a base.
Sid is an enormous fan. Doesn't really follow it anymore.
Yeah. I grew up on it, but I'm lapsed.
Gotcha. So, you know, for folks at home, like the uninitiated, right, who aren't big wrestling fans, a smart wrestling fan is generally means someone who is hip to the workings of the business, right? And this used to mean a lot more back in the days when there were still a lot of people out there who thought to one degree or another that what they saw on television did have some realness to it in terms of the storylines and the outcomes of the fights and things like that. And so a smart fan was someone who knew that that wasn't the case. That it was all, you know, planned ahead and it's not fake but fixed, right? So smart fans and smarks, which is short for smart marks, is sort of a really common term used to, it's used as a self-identifier amongst certain parts of fandom. I try to Straight Shoot is we're primarily a post Raw and post pay per view show, and I use the whatever happens on Raw and typically WWE pay per view. So we do the NXT stuff. We've done some other things in the past as well. We try and use that as a springboard to then talk about sort of larger issues within wrestling. And it's not backstage stuff, it's not rumors, but it's all about the storytelling involved in the ring, the ring psychology. And I'm aided in this by the fact that I have on a bunch of really great guests tomorrow night. I have one Mr. Rob Pozzani on, as well as Excalibur from PWG.
Sam Roberts on, right?
I do have Sam Roberts on, yeah, quite regularly. Sam Roberts, if you're a fan of indie wrestling, guys like Roddy Strong, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole.
I'm just a fan of Sam Roberts.
Like, okay, well, also no Sam Roberts. Sam, also Sam Roberts. But they're comedians, too. Lucas Brothers, Ron Funches, they've been all on. Sean O'Connor, Max Landis, the screenwriter guy who did Chronicle. Anybody and everybody who is a wrestling fan with some interesting things to say about it. I get a lot of comics people, too, because I have a background there as well.
Cool.
Yeah, and you also have another podcast, right, called Scald? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, Scald's been going on for about 2 months now. It's a weekly, serialized fantasy, like, sword and sorcery narrative. And what that means, basically, because that's a lot of descriptors just all sort of piled together in a row. What that means is that every week I write 5 or 6 pages of this sort of Conan, like Robert E. Howard-influenced, Michael Moorcock-esque sword and sorcery story, and I read it. And it's about 20 or 30 minutes long each and every week, and I do it in one take. So it's not, you know, it's not metal. Like, there's no music in it because it's all just my voice. But it's heavy, man. It's super violent. It's like the most violent, sort of grim Conan story you can imagine.
Well, Noah's interested because you said Moorcock. So she.
Oh, yeah. I was doing another interview and I was telling somebody, I was just raving about how much I love Michael Moorcock. I don't know if you guys are making a dick joke or not, but I'm just going to assume you're not.
Yes.
You're not going to make one. Yeah. I told these guys that the way I try and write this stuff is Michael Mostcock. Like, I just want to do Michael Moorcock just to, like, the umpteenth degree. So it's a lot of, like, evil
like
gods and, like, dark spells and bad magic and stuff. Yeah, Michael Mostcock. That's my side project.
But now I'm just picturing Michael Moore naked. So, night's ruined.
Suddenly I don't care about cocks.
Sid always finds the worst possible pun on anything.
It's just where you put the space.
It's true. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just you're like the flight switch that turns on the negative image in everyone's mind.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But I want to say back to the wrestling. Even having never heard a second of your podcast, I admire you for sitting through Raw every week because I fast forward all the commercials, and it's like a war of attrition. It's just impossible.
I'm going to be on the show tomorrow, and I usually do the same thing. I watch it on delay. I basically start watching at like 10 o'clock, and then I'll finish it at like 11:30. I haven't watched live in years, so it's going to be quite an experience tomorrow to watch it live in order to be on the show to be totally like up to date the moment it ends.
The last time I watched it live and sat through it was when we went to Raw. And
that was miserable.
It's a chore, man. You know, what I tell people is it's just, you know, it was so so much better when it was 2 hours. And honestly, if Raw today, like the quality of wrestling and the quality of talent and what they're putting out there, if they shaved it down to 1 hour, it would be the best 1 hour of television in television history. You know, like if they just shaved it down to the good stuff, because there's at least an hour of amazing content every week, but you've got to sit through 2 hours of content to get to it. And
at least an hour of recaps of what happened in the previous hour. It moves so slow.
I feel like I agree and I disagree. I think they have the tools and they have the material to make a great 1 hour show. But there's other things with it that are wrong with it that would not be
oh, really?
1 hour.
Like, I don't know, man. Have you ever watched the Hulu edit of the show?
No.
Okay, the Hulu edit is about 90 minutes and it's phenomenal. It's really, really strong. Yeah, like I mean, what they end up doing is they cut out a lot of these extraneous segments. They don't go into all of the. They don't need to recap everything from 45 minutes ago because it's a much shorter thing. You'd be shocked, man. It holds up really well. You know, like I mean, episode of Raw, there's at least two or three great matches. You know, so already you've got like 45 minutes of content there.
Do they take out the inane, ridiculous commentary that's aimed at like 8-year-olds?
You know what? That's a big issue with a lot of people, man. It doesn't bother me as much as some because, you know, for me, the most important thing is what's happening inside the ring, right? And I know a lot of people say that, but a lot of people who say that out of one side of their mouth, they turn around and, like, rant constantly about the quality of the commentary or, you know, this goofy backstage segment or whatever. That stuff is kind of like it's extraneous to me, right? It's like tinsel on the tree. If the commentary is bad, which it is sometimes, I don't think it's quite as bad as people say it is all the time, but I don't listen to it. Like, it's that easy. I just pay attention to that.
I agree.
The real, like, entree. That's the main course.
I totally disagree with that.
I've zoned it out.
If it's either or, I'd rather have a good match with shitty commentary that I would tune out. But I feel like ideally, all these things, not just the wrestling, not just the commentary, not just skits or anything like that, like angle building and all that stuff should go hand in hand. Like when you're making a movie and you have the sound and the light, all that stuff contributes to making a match. The crowd, too. All that stuff contributes to making a match good. And when any of it sucks, I feel like it tarnishes it. And that commentary sucks so fucking bad that it really ruins even the good matches that they have.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? Like, so there are a couple things I'm going to disagree with, like, really stridently. One is the fact that the commentary is always awful. You know, for instance, one of the most excellent parts of Raw each and every week for the past, I don't know, a couple months or so, has been the John Cena Open Invitational Challenge Tournament U.S. title thing, whatever the hell they call it. And if you actually listen to commentary during those matches, it's phenomenal because it matters. You know, and a lot of times the commentary is really bad because it's during a match that, for one reason or another, it doesn't matter. It's just kind of there to fill time. So instead, they use that time to plug the network or, you know, whatever Make-A-Wish stuff they're doing or video games or whatever. I mean, that doesn't excuse it, but it explains it a little bit. And the other thing I would say is that unlike a movie, right, and you made the comparison to a movie. So, you know, just like a movie needs good acting and a good script and good lighting and good special effects and good sound design and all this stuff, you're right. You know, and you made the comparison of, oh, well, a wrestling show needs X, Y, and Z. I don't think it does. I think wrestling needs one thing and one thing only, and wrestling needs good in-ring matches. Good stuff happening between the ropes. And my proof of that is the fact that one of the most popular things within wrestling circles right now, like online, like so hardcore fans, is New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say most people in America watching it do not understand Japanese. They have idea what these people are talking about.
Why?
And yet, it's becoming very popular because the in-ring product is so good. The same goes – I was at a PWD show on Friday night. The same goes there. You don't know any of the stories. You can't hear the commentary. A lot of times there aren't stories. It's just everything's just self-contained within the ring. So for me, the commentary, all this other stuff, you know, and your mileage may vary, but all of that stuff, it's, you know, when it's good and it's like seasoning, you know, if it's good, it can help out the steak. But at the end of the day, I want a good prime rib. And that's the most important thing to me.
To your point about New Japan though, you're right. Like just watching the Japanese feed, you know, you don't really need the commentary because the match tells the story. But watching the New Japan on Access TV show, the American version of the show, with American commentary makes it 10 times more engaging just because you have a commentary team sort of explaining kind of the story and who these wrestlers are. It adds so much to it. And I think for Darren and myself, when we say the commentary sucks, I don't feel as strongly about it as Darren does. My main problem is really with JBL and how he sometimes sidetracks it to just like some nonsensical conversation that's not even funny. And like, it's like, talk about the match in the ring, stop bullshitting.
Right.
But I think we're spoiled because we came up with like the best announcer of all time, Jim Ross, and it's like nothing will ever.
Gorilla Monster.
I love
it. What's interesting about that though is even Jim Ross has come out and said these days that like he could not do what Michael Cole does. You know, like I agree with you that like it's a very different thing. But the nature of the product has changed and shifted so much that I think if you are gonna compare them, you do need to kind of grade on a curve and also recognize that what Michael Cole does is kind of a totally different job from what good old JR ever did.
Yeah,
you know?
JR didn't have to keep plugging the WWE Network every 2 minutes.
And I agree.
No, it wasn't necessary.
I don't even completely blame the three of those guys. I'm not saying it's all their fault. I'm just saying that's the reality of what it is, and it's not – a lot of times it's not watchable.
So believe it or not –
Can I give you a tip?
Sure.
We can hop off commentary after this, but I think you're going to like – I think, you know, this is a hashtag life hack I think you're going to enjoy. On a lot of TV remotes – there's a button that says mute. You just turn that shit off. You just turn it off. Just watch the match. It's amazing.
First of all, it's like rooting for a sports team for me, a bad sports team, in the sense that I like to follow the shittiness of it when it's shitty, and I enjoy the greatness of it when it's good. So I want to absorb what they're giving me. I don't want to put it on mute and just watch the match. I feel like all that stuff adds to it, and also detracts from it. And I want to see I don't want to get too bogged down. I know Rob's chopping at the bit to say something.
No, I was going to say, you know, we do.
Get in there, Rob. Say something.
We do sometimes talk about heavy metal on this podcast.
Yeah.
I had a wrestling question.
Oh, okay.
Who has the best outfit these days?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what? I kind of really like Kevin Owens' outfit. He's in NXT because Kevin Owens dresses like a fat girl at the beach. He's got tights on and then gym shorts over top of those and then a big sleeveless billowy T-shirt that he wears, and it works for him.
Can I say one thing about Kevin Owens before we move on to metal? Is it that
he's the best?
He is the best. I think he's awesome. But my wife has a huge crush on Kevin Owens.
Oh.
And I'm not even jealous because Kevin Owens is like a younger-looking version of me. Like, he's a big, fat slob.
Oh, damn.
But he's
athletic.
And I'm actually flattered by that. He has all unkempt facial hair. He's like, you know, just slovenly fucking, you know. But he comes out.
He has the worst haircut of anybody I've ever thought was cool.
And the weirdest,
you know what
beard,
I'm saying?
Like chin pubes, basically, but a full
he's
beard.
Bad. He's bad beard, too. Yeah.
Not look like you.
He didn't look like me. Like, he's not a dead ringer. He doesn't
not like
physically look like me, but he has the same frame.
He looks like every guy I went to high school with.
Kind of,
like every guy
that
goes to high school in Brooklyn.
He's just like a regular dude. Like, we have the same body's type. And, yeah, I feel like that is, like, the wrestling me, you know?
Okay, he's assistant manager at a pizza place.
So
if you go to a pizza
place. Yeah, or like an elevator repair man. That's what I
call it. Finn Balor, I think, has the best outfit because he wears the demon paint.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
That's right, too.
Audience, don't you, Rob?
Why?
I don't know.
Are you pandering?
No, I genuinely think he's the coolest.
He's rad. He's really rad too, man. I feel like you gotta put an asterisk there though, because he only wears the demon paint on special occasions.
Yeah,
but
right?
That makes it so much cooler for me too. I feel like if he wore
it
every time, it would kind of like it wouldn't make it as funny. Yeah, it means it's like a special occasion. Like he's out for blood when he has the demon makeup on. But anyway, so you went to Psycho California Fest last week.
Yeah, man. I think I'm recovered now.
I was gonna say, are you still dealing with the contact high from it? Because it was like every doom and stoner band ever, and it was like Sleep was there, Municipal Waste, oddly, which I feel was probably the fastest band that was playing there. What were some of the
they
bands?
Were definitely the fastest. I Hate God was there too, which is like those are like kind of the two heaviest. But honestly, Municipal Waste was really fun because they played like I think like the middle of the day on. I don't know. They're all running together. They're Friday or Saturday. But it was kind of a nice break from all the doominess. But no, it was great, man. It was a really cool venue. It's down in Orange County. I hope they I hear people say they're going to start making an annual thing. I hope they do, and I hope they do it there because it's this big cavernous indoor spa lot. And then there was there's an outdoor stage that they used for some folks. And then like a secondary, like smaller indoor stage. It was a blast, man. Yeah, like sleep is always excellent. I got my sleep patch, which I missed. Like I saw them in Joshua Tree last year, and I wanted a patch, but they'd sold out like 3 dates ahead of that show. So I finally got my sleep patch. Conan was probably my favorite band that I saw there last weekend. Those guys fucking ripped. Bademan was amazing. They had Wino on vocals, which was really fun. Cough was really good. Wofat, I loved. Earthless. A ton of fucking bands, man. It was amazing.
What kind of munchies did you bring? Because, you know, Shirley.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, okay. So here's what I did. I ate wheat chocolates, like edibles, beforehand. Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you asking a different question?
Well,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no. I'm saying surely you were stoned, and then I want to know what kind of munchies did you
buy?
Oh
yeah, I was hella stoned.
Rob and I went to see Clutch in Central Park, and they had an ice cream stand there. It was fucking amazing. They had blue marble.
I'll tell you what we had because this is LA, baby. We had like 4 different rotating food trucks all day every day, and it would swap them in and out. So the first day I had, like, they knew their audience, man. They had, like, a burger place, and I got one called the Seder. And so it was, like, a burger with like, goat cheese and fig jam on it. And that was dope. And then they had, like, a Viking-themed hot dog truck. And I got a corn dog from there, which was also dope. And lots of Mexican food. I ate a lot of, like, carne asada fries. And I also got carne asada nachos because I'm an animal.
Barbecue truck. High school, by the way.
For that first burger, I thought he said the Seder. I was waiting for it to be
like a matzah on it or something.
Yeah, I thought I was waiting for it to be like, you know, with Manischewitz.
Oh, wrong Seder, boys. Wrong Seder. Go to Astoria, you'll get it. It's the wrong type of Seder. It's like the goat burger, the goat cheese and the fig jam. Mm.
So it was amazing. You had some edibles. Was there smoking and stuff going on at the show? Any weird contraptions or cross joints or stuff like that you saw?
No, you know, I brought a vape pen because I wanted to be kind of discreet because I just didn't really know. Unnecessary, wholly unnecessary. Just dudes with big like honking like baseball bat blunts smoking out in the open. Nothing crazy, but a lot of weed. It's Southern California, man.
It's true. I still don't know why I haven't moved out there. Can we all move out there so we can just podcast? Like,
I just signed a 2-week lease on a new apartment, so I can't do that. Sorry, Rob.
Can't sublet it?
No.
We'll have Sid ISDN in.
Okay. That sounds good. All right, Aubrey. Well, we have to get to our music break, so we're going to let you go. Feel free to use the next minute or two to plug away at all your stuff. Go for it. Go.
Yeah, man. Of course. Go. First up, tomorrow night, immediately after Raw, come watch Rob and Excalibur, the liaison to the board of directors for PWG on Straight Shoot. You can find information just at AubreySitterson.com, and that houses everything, including all my social media and links to Scald and stuff like that. Scald you can find on iTunes and Stitcher just by searching for Scald, Skald. And please find me on Twitter, at AubreySitterson. Tell me if you heard me on this thing, because I would just be delighted to know who found me through this wonderful, delightful podcast that you guys do.
Yeah, and if you can't spell Aubrey Sitterson, we'll make sure to tweet.
Aubrey.
You can't spell Aubrey Sitterson. Fuck you. That's what I say.
Aubrey, I will be very disappointed if tomorrow night when I'm watching everyone, if you guys aren't wearing your Zubaz pants, I'm going to be like,
I'm going to be wearing my Zubaz and my Dusty Rhodes Future Island shirt.
My camera doesn't capture that much of me, so just assume that I'm going to be wearing Zubaz.
Good enough.
Cool. And, all right, so Aubrey, I will see you tomorrow.
You certainly will. I'm looking forward to it.
If I'm still awake, no, I'll be awake.
Well, I'll cross my fingers then. How about that?
and we'll talk plenty of professional wrestling and many other topics. Thank you so much for calling in, Aubrey.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care.
Yeah.
Have a good one. All right, we're going to get to our music break. This is a Sid pick music break. Sid, anything you want to let us know about this break? I don't even know what songs you picked.
Well, I had to go back and find every other playlist I ever did just to make sure. And I do this every time, but like it's been a while, to make sure that there are no repeats, nothing, because I tend to go to the same bands often.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be all new stuff that's never been in a Sid playlist before. So hopefully the kids
like
it.
Look at you doing work.
Great. So take a listen to this playlist. Let us know what you think.
Hey, hold on. I'm sorry. Rob, this is one that you want them to like, not one that you want to annoy people
with. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because you did a couple that you wanted to annoy them with.
Well, not. It was. I've never done playlists of stuff I don't like.
Right, I know that.
But there's some times where, like, I expect the listeners not to like it, but I think they'll like it.
Okay, good.
All right, let's kick things off. Here we go.
All you ladies, pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. All you ladies, pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. Just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it now. Lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. Right now, lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack.
You are in the middle of a Metal Injection live cast music break. I am so sorry about that. I promise it will be over soon. Until then, here's more of whatever this is.
All you ladies, pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. All you ladies, pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. Just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it now. Lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. Right now, lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back, lick my pussy. My pussy.
Chuck Blandington here, asking you to like us at facebook.com and follow us on Twitter at MILivecast. That way you can show all your friends that you're part Jewish and part asshole.
All you ladies pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. All you ladies pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. Just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it now. Lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. Right now, lick it good, suck this pussy just like you should. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back, lick my pussy. My pussy and my crack. My
Chuck Landington. I just had a repressed thought surface. I remembered Bill Cosby drugging me and touching my CPU back in 1984 when I was just a Commodore 64. I'm going to go call my lawyer. Oh, yes. And by the way, the Metal Injection live cast returns.
Oh, yeah.
Noah was jamming to that Kaya.
We all were.
Noah's pussy was popped.
Infectious. And when you're high, it like sounds 10 times better.
So, Sid, you want to take us through your music break?
Well, there was the first track was this song called My Neck, My Back by this artist some of you may have heard of called Kaya.
Not Kia, right?
No, that's a different artist. Then we followed that up with this other song by Kaya called My Neck, My Back.
Slightly different.
Then we sprinkled in a little Fugazi with Back to Bass. Back to Bass. And then we followed that up with an oldie but goodie, My Neck, My Back by Kaya.
All right.
Great job. Bravo.
Yeah,
so, someone said it in the chat. It was the best playlist
damn
so
right.
far.
Yeah, very well.
I'm very proud.
I said that. But
Junk makes
but it is true.
Junk in the chat makes a good point. The last one was the reprise of the Kaya.
Yeah.
I don't know how we followed that.
We have a lot to talk about, and I don't remember any of it.
Well, the first thing we had to talk about was Supergirl.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get to
because,
Supergirl.
Because... I was talking to Rob online a while ago, a couple of weeks ago maybe, and there was this SNL sketch where Scarlett Johansson was on SNL.
It was like earlier this month, in fact.
Yeah, and oh, was that recent?
Yeah, because she was promoting Avengers.
So they did a sketch where Scarlett Johansson is Black Widow, and Marvel is trying to sort of pander to women because their audience is all like a sausage fest.
Well, just to back up, like Marvel was getting criticism that they don't. Enough, like, they don't show female superheroes in as positive a light as the male superheroes. So this sketch from SNL was kind of like a jab at that of, like, what would a Marvel female catered to superhero movie look like?
And it was a rom-com, basically. It was just a Black Widow working at a fashion magazine.
Yeah.
And
she's in love with
a cunt, and, you know.
Yeah,
like
she's
a,
in love with Ultron.
Yes.
And Captain America is, like, her gay best friend.
Thor was
the gay best friend. Yeah, Captain America was a slob, and so they're all trying to give her advice. And
she's klutzy, like she, the cute guy comes and talks to her, and she drops everything, you know, like every movie that you've ever seen, right?
And so a great, and one of the highlights, maybe the highlight of that episode, I feel like that was a great, really funny, on point sketch. Mm-hmm. And so maybe a week or two later, CBS. One of the pillars of great television.
Well, according to the ratings, they are.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, it's only because they're the first channel on the dial. That's my theory.
It's also because all the Nielsen families are like 75
years
old.
Yeah, I think that's more what it is.
And they passed out in front of the television. Never changed off CBS.
Yeah.
I think CBS breaks into homes and sets the dials to CBS while the old people are passed out.
They didn't really fire Dan Rather. They just reassigned him to doing that. I believe it.
So they released a trailer for Supergirl.
Right.
And it's, at first, like, if you didn't know this was a real show, which this is a very real show that's happening, it's like, did they just rip off that SNL parody?
It's exactly the SNL sketch.
Who is the actress? Is it anyone?
No one that I know that has
we know?
Been in anything.
No, I don't know. So let's take a listen. You could understand it just by listening to what's going on here in this Supergirl sketch.
Name is Kara Zor-El.
No, this isn't the sketch.
The commercial.
Ago, this is the actual show.
This is the first look, at this new show, a legit serious drama, or like a dramedy.
That's what, right there, you know there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's a fucking comic book show, and it's a dramedy. It's like
why does the word dramedy even exist?
The first thing that I remember dramedy existing for was Hooperman, I think.
I don't even know what.
Remember with John Ritter?
Oh my God!
Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever. Okay.
Anyway.
My name is Kara Zor-El. 24 years ago, my planet was in peril. My cousin Kal-El was sent to a planet called Earth. You may know his story, but you don't know mine. On Earth, you will do extraordinary things. Until now, you must go. I love you, Kara.
Okay, so far,
yeah,
it's correct.
And then this!
Sorry. I'm calling about the correspondence.
correspondence dinner. I need to make sure Ms. Grant doesn't end up next to Bill O'Reilly again.
Are they for real?
Pause it.
I was wondering.
And the funny thing is that you can't see.
I love the music, by the way.
Yeah. The music is
just the music.
So great. And she works in it like a fashion.
That exactly.
It's not really a fashion magazine, but it's just
it's like
a
political.
She has a cunty boss, you know.
Yeah.
So she says that Superman was her cousin.
Yeah.
Does she go find him? Shouldn't the first episode be like, "Oh, hey, cousin, remember me? What's up?
I can't afford that. Can I crash at your apartment?
Like. Yeah. She's going to come to the same you by yourself going to a new planet that your cousin is the only person you know who lives there. And you're not the first. What's the first thing? You have superpowers. Uh-huh. You should easily be able to find your cousin and be like, what's up with this planet?
Yeah, like, what do I do? Give me some help.
Like, how does shit work here? This
Maybe
is a whole new fucking planet.
She's too proud. She's like, no, I will make.
But isn't he also?
I am woman. Hear me roar.
Isn't
I am
he
girl,
also
hear
in New
me
York?
Roar.
Don't you think he'd figure
he's
out?
He's not like, in New York. He's in Metropolis.
And so she's in New York.
Yeah,
but there's all. It's a world where New York exists and Metropolis.
No, maybe sure. Metropolis is like on the West Coast, and she got tired. And I was like,
this makes no sense.
I think she's in Metropolis though.
So then,
I think this is Metropolis.
So then, wouldn't everybody be like, you know, you remind me a lot of this other guy? And well, she's like, oh, that's my cousin. I should go say hi and let him know I'm here.
Okay, I think it's known that she's his cousin though.
To who?
To other people.
So he's it. On the show also.
No.
But he's not. He's
referenced.
Of,
he's always like busy.
Yes.
He's like the guy on Home Improvement who lives behind the fence.
Let's try to determine it.
Let's listen to it a little more.
Superman always flies with a fence in front of him.
For copyright purposes.
Hey, I was wondering if maybe you want to, I don't know, go see a movie tonight.
I can. I'm sorry. I have a date.
Hey. Fun. Dating is fun.
She's here.
How do you do that?
The only reason I bought this building was because it had a private elevator. That way I don't have to get soaked in cheap cologne every morning getting to my office, find out who used it, have them reprimanded or bathed. I don't care which.
Here's your latte. Hot.
Oh, that'll be new and different.
So she's like
a sassy.
So she's a taxed intern that gets no respect at work, you know.
It's the Devil Wears Prada.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
Which is what the Scarlett Johansson sketch was. But making fun of
I've
it.
I've seen the picture. It won a Pulitzer.
Yeah. Only because it was the first real shot of him. Little secret, he actually posed
Superman.
For that. Guess he liked
by the way, they made Jimmy Olsen into a black guy, too. Jimmy Olsen is black in this. Which I, you know,
played by Taye Diggs?
It's no, but
no,
it seems
other, the
very,
guy from True Blood?
Seems very pandering.
Oh, yeah.
I might be wrong. It seems very pandering.
It's CBS, so I'm sure it's pandering.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're Jimmy Olsen, the photographer from the Daily Planet.
James Olsen.
He's mature.
Gosh.
I'm a stuttering girl.
This music.
I have a conference in Geneva, and I need to be on a plane in
this
2 hours.
This is our friend.
I have a blind date in a half an hour, and I need you to help me pick out what to wear. Why do you do this to me? Because I'm your sister and you love me.
Oh, a sister.
I feel
Wait.
Like I'm not living up to my potential.
Adopted sister.
Yeah.
Fetch layers and coffee. You always
so she was adopted by a different family than her cousin was adopted
so
by.
So that's it. Yeah. So there you go. She was a child.
So this is basically like Superman meets those fucking State Farm commercials with Cliff and Chris Paul.
Yes.
Where they're separated at birth, but they're somehow related and they have the same last name, even though they were separated at birth. They have different first names, but the same last name, but they were separated at birth, raised by different families.
Right.
But they always hang out together and have the same last name.
And Superman's always behind a fence.
Yeah.
Can I just
God
say
damn it.
That this is why I love watching TV with Sid, because he gets so incensed when like stuff doesn't
it's
make
so
sense
stupid.
And he starts ranting, and I love it.
Does no one ask anyone if this shit makes sense before they put it on TV? Like,
I
God
feel
damn
as
it.
Though they're so beaten down by the like network notes,
they're
just trying
to meet
deadlines. Oh, just get it in. Just like let's push it through.
That's a drop.
Let's get it in.
Come on. Jeez. Children over here, Darren. We're dealing with children.
It's meant to be normal. I'm not normal. I can lift a bus, stop a bullet, Alex. I can fly. At least I think I can.
Now they're ripping off the little engine that could?
Geneva. It's circling the city after a engine.
Now it's
oh, my God. Who's
there, Geneva?
Alex. It's her sister on that flight. She's trying to fly now, and it's like, ah. She did it.
We're going down. Brace for impact.
She stopped the plane. And there's this, like, very epic shot of the plane just missing a bridge.
Right. All right, so the Supergirl is played by somebody who was on Glee. That's, like, her claim to fame. She was on Glee. In case anyone's curious.
I wasn't.
And she was in Whiplash. I believe she was the love interest in Whiplash.
No one asked.
Sorry, jeez. Goddamn.
You're out there now, Kara.
Wait, hold on. Here's the best part.
People will know about you, and you can't take that back.
I don't want to.
Media magnate Cat Grant of National City's new female hero, Supergirl.
We can't name her that. We didn't. Shouldn't she be called Superwoman?
What do you think is so bad about
Dean Cain is in this.
Wait, this is the one that pisses
this
me off.
This is the part,
yeah. Go back to that.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, Dean Cain play Superman?
And Calista Flockhart is in this?
She's the boss.
She's the cunty boss. Yeah. She's the devil that wears Prada.
Shouldn't she be called Superwoman?
What do you think is so bad about girl?
I'm a girl. And you're boss. And powerful. And rich. And hot.
So
and
uncomfortable.
Smart.
So if you perceive Supergirl as anything less than excellent, isn't the real problem you?
Yes, if you think using condescending terms like girl to describe grown women is not condescending, isn't something wrong with you?
Yeah, says CBS.
No, because girl refers to someone that's fucking like a preteen.
Well, then why isn't it Superboy? Why is that a different character?
Because he's actually a boy.
I don't think that's a comic book character, Rob. I think that's just a DVD you have.
Different as you were saying, I was like, no, there was a TV series, there's a comic.
You made the mistake of thinking Sid was actually
but also,
talking
is, there, is there an actual Superboy?
Yeah, there was a, like, ABC series.
I remember Shazam.
Yes, there was. It's fantastic.
Stop it. Superboy was pretty masked. I mean, what? I don't know.
Superboy.
I have to look this up.
Volume 4.
You're thinking Superboy.
Superboy and Robin.
I don't know.
I guess I could sort of fill in the blanks on that one. I guess if I think about it enough.
Superboy saves a train from going off the rails.
1988 to 1992?
Yeah.
This is a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Gerard Christopher. I don't know who that is.
I watched an episode of it recently. It's so cheesy. It's great.
Why did you do that?
Because I remember watching it as a kid, and I was like, oh, I need to go check it out if it's like, because I remember liking it as a kid, but I'm like, oh, it's probably so bad.
And yeah.
And yes, it was.
I'm looking this guy up. He does not look familiar to me. 74 episodes this show.
Yeah.
Man. Jesus.
Superboy prevents a meteor from hitting a furry convention.
He was also General Hospital. This guy was, this guy did not have much of a career after Superboy. It's surprising.
Wow. So, let's listen to a little more.
Kara?
I'm going to tell you something about me that for most of my life I've run from it. No. But last night, I embraced who I am and I don't want to stop.
Oh my God, you're a lesbian.
You're a lesbian.
Kara, that's why you're not into me. This is great news.
I'm not gay. I'm her. The woman who saved the plane.
Okay, right.
Kara, what are you doing?
Hey, Kara!
She falls off the side of the building. And
jumped
flies.
Off. Jumped off and flew up.
You're her.
Yep.
Yep.
Music.
Now it's Riot Girl music.
Are we watching the whole episode?
Like,
this feels like it's
like
an hour and
extended
half.
Trailer.
We keep.
This is the best part where she's like trying to figure out her outfit. As Supergirl?
Nope. It clashes. The tights clash.
Where's my cape? Capes are lame.
One whole episode dedicated to the font of the S on her chest. Right? So that's your favorite episode, Rob.
Hold on. They acknowledge that.
Oh.
So, to be a superhero, you need a crime. There's a car chase on the 112 freeway.
I could do a car chase.
This is total Riot Girl.
Well, no.
The vibes they're going
for. It's CBS.
This is girl kicking ass music.
It's CBS filtered Riot Girl music.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It's what they think it is.
Yeah,
in a boardroom somewhere. So.
You sure you're bulletproof?
Hope so.
All right, the new cape is made from a structured polymer composite. It's much sturdier.
And
she has an S on.
This one has the S for super, just like your cousin.
It's not an S. My family's coat of arms, the House of L.
They got serious. They turned off the kitty for
Welcome
that.
Welcome to the Department of Extra-Normal
kitty
Operations.
Soundtrack.
The CEO monitors and protects Earth from extraterrestrial presence.
Dude.
These beings, some of them have powers from your darkest nightmares.
I can help you stop them.
I don't trust aliens. You want to help?
Oh, girls.
Go back to getting someone's coffee.
I know what you're thinking. But the world needs you to fly.
Why? Wait a minute. One another thing. So this guy knows that she's Supergirl, the guy that was just talking to her.
She was asked Supergirl.
And yeah. She offered her help. And he says, I don't trust aliens. He just got through telling these people that aliens can do things from your darkest nightmares.
Right.
Then this alien says to him, hey, I want to help. And he's like, I don't trust you. Go back to giving me coffee if you want to help. And he just explained that aliens can do the most horrible things, and then he insults one to her fucking face.
Yes.
And he asked her a cup of coffee.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong?
Well,
yeah,
what is wrong?
She
has laser eyes. She can kill him.
Fire this man.
Wait, to compound that and making it worse is that she's like, okay. All right, fucking laser fry his fucking face off.
But then she proves his point. She can't stupid.
She's not ready.
She's better than that. Kara is better than that.
You know, first things first, you need to change.
This is my
life. You travel 2,000 light years just to be an assistant.
Dawson's Metropolis.
This city will die.
It's a comic book TV show as written by whoever writes all of Kelly Clarkson's songs.
Exactly. One Tree Krypton.
Did Krypton have trees? I don't know if the landscape.
Good point. We'll look that up right now.
Cousin wanted me to do this? Why did he just tell me?
Because he wanted you to choose it for yourself.
See? She's not ready to meet him.
Oh.
And he gave her a cape.
It's just a blanket he was wrapped in when he was a baby.
Apparently, this cape won't shred.
Thank you.
Now, don't you have a city to protect? You know, up and away?
Well, so here's the thing. You know, I know some high-powered people at CBS. And
you just know high people at CBS.
I know some
Who are
high,
you kidding?
I know some high people at CBS.
CBS. Yeah. Two guys smoking in the back in the fucking frozen dinner aisle. Well, Rob, I don't want to blow you away and impress you too much, but I know three guys at Walgreens.
With that said, those guys at CBS... Their dad works at CBS.
Oh, nice.
And we were laughing about the trailer, and they were like, oh, man, you thought that first teaser was bad? We have, like, the extended second episode of that show.
And you're never going to get to see this because the show's getting canceled after the first episode, so
but
this is an exclusive.
But it's so good. They were like, it's so good. Totally makes that other show, like, that other episode terrible because this one's so good. So they sent it over and they were very nice to do that. And so I'd like to play a little bit of that.